guys. Welcome to Teachers Off Duty Podcast. My name is Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in fifth.
I am Gabe Dannenbring, G_Unit24.
On social media.
On social media. Yeah, check us out on social media.
Or, you know, you could just, you know, type that in your phone, see what happens.
Yeah. See what pops up, you know? My name is Tal Williams, or this is my camera, or Mr. Williams Pre-K on social media.
First of all, Happy New Year to everybody. But it has been a rough morning, and I'm going to pass it over to tell us what the heck happened.
So, we're adults, you know, but we thought it'd be fun to kind of like relive our childhoods for a moment. And so we decided to play a game of hide and go seek.
Which, mind you, the house we're staying at this weekend is like eight massive bedrooms, five bathrooms, like huge.
It's a small castle.
It is. And it's Disney themed.
Right.
Like there are so many fun rooms.
Yeah, there's a Star Wars room. Yep. There's Elsa room or Frozen, whatever. There's Buzz Lightyear. There's Harry Potter.
Yep. There's a whole theater.
Whole movie theater.
Yeah. It's just like everywhere you turn, there's something really cool.
There was a pool. Amazing.
There was a pool. The hot tub wasn't hot, but there was a pool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like we were staying there. We thought it'd be fun because it was so big to like play hide and seek. And, you know, you turn off all the lights, all this stuff. And we decided that the stairs, because, you know, you'd think that literally an entire group of teachers would realize maybe having the stairs as the little ollie oxen free isn't a good idea to do. That was the safe spot. So I was running out of the Buzz Lightyear room, as most people do. And I was like going to infinity and beyond and hit the beyond a little too much. And I like skidded down the stairs and my foot and ankle went. Pch-ch-ch.
What did it do?
It went.
Those of you listening, his foot went
backwards
toward his booty. His toes went toward his booty,
and it kind of just went, kind of little feeling. And
but you made it though, right?
I won that round. So was it worth it? I didn't think so.
Our producer he got a degree in sports medicine. Yeah. So like last night he was like hooking Tell up, like getting his leg all set up.
He worked for the Patriots.
Yeah.
He taped Tom Brady's ankles.
Yeah.
Like, right. So it's like, listen, those hands that touched Tom Brady's ankles also touched yours.
Or it could be like the hands that touched my leg, also Tom Brady.
I'm sorry, how rude of me.
Yeah, I don't know Tom Brady, but I hear he knows me.
He does.
You know?
New Year's resolutions. Tal doesn't want to break any more ankles.
None.
As teachers, New Year's resolutions are always super challenging.
Yeah.
They're very challenging, but when they're executed right, they can be huge. Do you have any New Year's resolutions as a teacher right now?
I am resolved to not forget breakfast count in the morning.
What's breakfast count?
So at my school, because I'm in elementary, I don't think high schools do this that I know of. But the kids like come in, and for us, the way they do it, because we're such a small school, they have our cafeteria workers come down with like a cart, and they have like little sack lunch breakfast for the kids in the morning. And so the kids will just walk in, grab their breakfast, bring it in the room and eat. And I have to take account of who ate breakfast that morning. And then they like, it's like something to do with a law or whatever. Like,
is it CACFP?
Sure.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I don't know. But they like, it's just something for legal purposes. They have to be able to say how many kids ate breakfast. Yeah. And like, it's the food services like system.
Yeah, usually it's like
you get
that money granted to you, and so you just have to keep track of how much.
Yeah, I think it's that reason for the grant. I have to like check off, and like luckily I have older kids, so like I'll just put the clipboard on the table every morning and like, don't forget to check off your name for breakfast, and they'll just come up and do it. But like there are days that like I'll put it out, they'll put their checks on there, but then I forget to put it in my mail envelope on the door. So our poor secretary pops her head in every morning. Do you have your breakfast count? And I was like, yep, I do. Hang on. And I have to like run it over to her. So I'm going to not forget to do that.
One of my resolutions, I want to make similar to secretaries.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I actually submit my attendance on time this year during my class periods.
Do you guys use progress book or do you have to do it like paper?
No, we have what's called Infinite Campus.
Oh, okay.
So we go through like, it is so unbelievably easy to submit attendance. And I still find a way to not do it.
No, me
like,
too.
All I have to do is at the beginning of class, take 30 seconds and just look and then hit submit. That's all I have to do.
Do you do that for each class?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Secondary. Wow. Yeah. We got to do it for each class. And I think my secretaries are so sick and tired of calling my room and be like, hey, can you submit attendance? And like, they have to be so annoyed by it at this point because I always seem to forget it. But yeah, sometimes what they'll do, they'll send out like an email to the teachers that forget to submit it. And I'm not the only one. So I think there's other teachers out there always forget to submit their attendance.
See, but they're always so nice about it. Like at one point, if I was a secretary and like all nice these teachers kept forgetting attendance, I'd be like, attendance, like just yell it at them.
Like it's not challenging. It is not that difficult to submit attendance.
It's just one of those little things that you just don't want to do or you forget to do. Yeah. So it's the easiest thing to go in the morning.
Yeah, it's so easy to forget. What about you? Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Because I'm like out of the classroom full time and I'm just not just subbing. Subbing's hard.
Yeah.
Subbing's really hard. But I think that I want to like, I always talk about how like I would never teach anything other than pre-K. And I think that like I might want to like be more open to branching out to do like high school, not middle school. I could never do middle school.
See, but maybe they might eat you alive.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree. I think that they would like you.
They would eat him alive, but in like a nice, friendly way.
The friendly
way.
You
know what I mean?
Like, they would attack you with kindness.
They would.
No, not necessarily attack you with they would attack you with like attitude and sass. But I think you could dish it right back at them.
For sure.
And the second you dish it back at them, middle schoolers will be like, this guy rocks. Like, okay. He's a dude.
I think I would do okay. I feel like high school, like when I subbed once this year and it was like, I kept saying like, I'll never do it again. But it was like, they were so sweet. And like, I made fun of myself right off the bat. I don't even remember what comment I said. But like instantly they were kind of like, okay, we can't make fun of him. He just made fun of himself. Like, I'm going to always like beat you to the punchline. So it was fun. And I think it'd be like, it would be nice to be like fully like, have the entire experience of it. Yeah, I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
I would like to do that. Like, I wish there were opportunities to do that as just a teacher in general. Like, just go into other classes. I mean, I know at some schools there are. Like, you have to cover classes here and there. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've done that maybe once. But
it's like that teacher wife swap, but teacher swap for a day.
Yes. No, but, like, the highest I've ever done was, like, sixth grade. And that wasn't really much of anything. So, like, it would be interesting. But my thing is, like, I'd be really scared to be in front of, like, the big kids, like, high schoolers. Because those are, like, almost adults to me.
Yeah. High schoolers are interesting because, like, their brains are a little bit more developed than elementary, not like that much more developed, but a little bit more developed.
I mean, I would hope they're
but when like teaching high school, you can have such good conversations with them. Like for me, like elementary scares the crap out of me.
Oh, I
really?
Because, I would absolutely hate it because I don't want to teach a kid how to tie their shoes. I don't want to tell I don't want to do that.
See, but that's only like the youngest elementary. Like I don't teach kids how to tie their shoes every day. I have 10-year-olds. They know how to do that.
See, hopefully. But like, I want to be able to have, I don't know. Elementary is just too young for me. Like, I know that's not where my skill set is.
Yeah.
Like, I know everything I would say would go above their head and it would just be no fun.
That's how it is for me even though. Like, I will tell a real great joke and they're just like I said, teaching is like doing stand-up and no one's laughing at you.
See, that's funny. Like, that's why I love fifth grade though, because they're still little kids, but I still like roast them on a daily basis and like we're still sarcastic to each other.
Yeah.
So it's still fun and like it doesn't go completely over their heads. And like for some, like the fun part is though, when you do say something and it goes over some of the kids' heads.
Yeah.
And then there's like a couple of them that are like, ah, I see what you did there. And like, I'm like, you get it.
Do you ever do New Year's resolutions with your students? Have you guys ever tried that?
Okay. So I'm going to be honest. Like I know there are teachers that do that and I think it's great. I don't. That probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do that. Mm-hmm. But like for me, New Year's is kind of like a reset.
Yes.
Basically, the school year is chopped into two halves.
Right.
It's, you know, semester one is the beginning of the school year. You start your behavior plan and you find your classroom management and whatever works for your kids. And I feel like you have to do the same exact thing all over again right after winter break because everybody comes back forgetting that they ever came to school before. Yeah.
So like young teachers that are listening to this, New Year's is your reset. When you get back, they're going to try to push boundaries again and it's your time to reset. How do you want your class to be structured? And like for me, like in secondary, that's the time for the little things that I used to let go in the first semester.
Yeah.
Time to not do those anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, what are some little things you would let go of that you're not going
to
let go?
One of them is, like, kids are always trying to sneak around and change the seats that they're sitting in.
Okay.
You know, like, my kids will always be like, oh, I got to charge my Chromebook. I got to sit here. It's like, oh, weird. You always end up sitting next to your buddy. Crazy how that works.
And you know, those little Chromebook cords work at home.
Yeah. Oh, God. Don't get me started on that. But it's little things like that where I'll let those slide. And yeah. then the precedent gets set. Oh, you can get away with it. But then the new year, you can come back and say, hey, we're not doing that this year.
Yeah.
And you can really start putting your thumb down, because that's kind of right. your last time
yeah.
to reestablish your management.
Somebody that I got to see, like, do a professional development, like when I was probably a second or third year teacher, her name was Amy Dean, the behavior queen.
Ooh.
And I know, right? We love some rhyming. And she... Sorry, elementary school. She came in, and that's like who gave me the idea to do like a hard reset in yeah. like that winter break mm-hmm. time period. So she said, basically, you have like a community forum and mm-hmm. you all sit down together and go, okay, we're going to make a list of things that went really well the beginning yep. half of the year and some things that we want to improve upon. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do the same thing for me. Like, I'm going to do something yes. like, you guys are going to tell me some things that I did really well. And you're going to tell me some things that you would like me to try and improve yeah. upon. Ooh. And like, well, you know, some of the things we'll see if they're, you know, valid, obviously.
Do the kids respond well to that?
I think they do. I do that. Yeah. I do it every year. And I mean,
when they critique you, they're pretty good and say.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like one, I'll give you an example. So one kid, he told me last year, he said, I feel like you're calling on the girls a lot more than you're calling on the boys. Mm. And I usually make it a point to call on like girl, boy, just yeah. so that I yeah. don't do that. But I was like, maybe I've been slipping. Like, yeah. I don't know. So I made it like a conscious effort to try and like be mindful of that yeah. while I was calling on kids in class. So, you know, even if it's something that I'm not sure if I'm doing or not,
yeah.
I'll still go, oh, okay, I'll look into mm-hmm. that and like write it down on the paper. And then I look over those things and yep. I'm like, okay, well, that's something that's an easy fix. I'll just make sure to like, I'm 100% calling on girl, boy, or, you know, like some classes use like the ping pong ball method mm-hmm. or like
wait,
the,
what's that?
Like you write their numbers, if you oh, use okay. numbers on a ping pong ball and then you draw random numbers to answer questions.
Oh.
Like popsicle sticks.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I'm upper elementary. No, pre-K okay. doesn't do that.
No.
Okay. Okay. So basically, it's just like I assign a number to each kid in the room. That way, like all their supplies are under that number. Mm. And so I put, you know, a popsicle stick or a ping pong ball with their number on it in a jar or whatever. And if I have a question in class, instead of people raising their hands, I'll just go,
gotcha.
All right, number 14. And then they'll answer the question.
I guess we do. We have letter links. So
okay.
you have to like find if it's like, Ariana, you find like an aardvark, and so like for the entire year, every time you show a picture of an aardvark, Ariana knows it's her.
Oh, okay.
So Ariana
like
Grande,
that.
If you're watching,
Have you ever had a massive fail for a New Year's resolution? Like, here's what I'm gonna do. We're gonna implement this in our classroom, and then it never happens.
I don't know if a classroom one. I guess I wouldn't call them massive fails because. I, you know, just me personally, I try not to set a bunch of resolutions mm-hmm. because I know that they're not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's like some kind of statistic out there that like, you know, some percentage of people set resolutions and then don't follow through after like month number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I just know it's unrealistic. Like, okay, every year, what's the number one resolution everybody says? Not
gym.
In school.
Gym.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to work out. Does everybody go? No, Planet right. Fitness sees a rise in gym memberships mm-hmm. in January, and then they just keep making that money as
right.
the attendance drops off.
And then people realize they don't want to work out on a Sunday afternoon.
And I'm with them. So like I get it. And so like for me, it's kind of like I am setting myself up for failure if I am setting these crazy resolutions for myself. So I try to get like little things that I know I want to do.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, this would be a cool goal for mm-hmm. this year. But if it doesn't happen, it's okay, you know?
I think with resolutions, you're much more, your odds of succeeding your resolution are be so much higher if you write it down and you see it every day. That's something that I've done before where I'll put my goals in my bathroom. I'll have my goals written down in my bathroom. So every day I look at what those goals are and it reminds me, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. Because so many people, they have the New Year's resolution in mind and then they never really go back to it. But if you have that daily physical reminder, that is massive. Even if, you know, as a teacher, put it on a sticky note. Put three goals that you have for the rest of the year. Have it sitting on your desk all the time. So you will go back and look at it, realize, that's right, I need to accomplish that. This is what I need to focus on.
I like that. I do. And like, that's kind of like what some teachers do at school. Like when you were saying, like, do you have goals with your students? Mm-hmm. Like some teachers will give their student like a, you know what? Now that I'm thinking of this, I do this at the beginning of the year. Okay. So I don't do it for New Year's, but like at the start of the school year, I do this really cute art project with my kids on the first week of school. It's like a kind of like a pop art kind of thing type of thing. And they will like, we write, it's like a big rectangle, and then in the top left corner, we'll draw like three squiggly lines just across the page. And on those lines, they write down their goal, like something they want to accomplish. It doesn't have to be a goal for the year. It could be something in life. Like some kids will write, like one person wrote, I want to be nicer to people.
Aww.
One person wrote, I want to get better at the trumpet. Like one person put, I want to be a scientist. Like just different things they want to work towards. And then they draw like vertical lines and then horizontal lines. And in each of the different boxes, they put like a different pattern and it's all black and white. The goal is all rainbow letters. And then I print out their picture of like them doing a pose in front of our door and like, cut it out and glue it to the little art project. And we stick it in the room and it hangs all year long. So like, it's kind of like just like a little reminder for them. So yeah, I kind of do that with my kids. And I know some teachers do that at the beginning of each new, like new year. They'll like have them draw a picture of a resolution and have their students write a resolution for themselves. And then, I also know like one other teacher at my school does like new year words. Like they'll say like, pick a word that you want to represent your new year. And like,
ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. So like they'll do like a pop art with like a word in the middle and then they'll write like a paragraph.
Okay, why they chose that word. What's your word for this year?
Oh, you put me on the spot. Yeah. I'm going to put, my word is going to be.
If you want to think, like if you think about it,
I need a minute. Yeah. I need a minute. Okay, someone else go. I need a minute.
A word.
A word.
Optimistic, I think.
Optimistic?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. That's good. It's easy to get like into like a mindset. I think like teaching it, the teaching year and then our like our personal years are so strange because like when we're talking about resolutions, right? Like we would make those resolutions for the school year in like August, September. But then technically your resolutions as personal ones would come in like January. So I think like it's easy to get to like to get frustrated if all these goals aren't being met. And so for me, I feel like if I'm a little bit more optimistic or not so hard on myself, if like I go like a week without doing that goal or reaching that goal, like it doesn't mean to throw the whole thing away. Just like start again.
Yeah. Right. My word is discipline.
Oh,
I want to be like I've not been as disciplined in my life the last probably 2 years just because it's like a new stage in life and you know, you adjust to everything. Yeah. But I think back to different parts of my life, I've been extremely disciplined.
Yeah.
And when you have things that are scheduled out, they almost always seem to go better. And I sometimes just fly by the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
And then I'm shocked, like, I'm shocked why they fail. And then I think back and think of things that I could have done differently. And it almost always comes back to, well, was I prepared?
Yep.
And a lot of times, no, I wasn't prepared. So I got to be much more disciplined at being prepared and setting myself up for success.
Yeah. I think, okay, my word, I was trying to, like, I knew what I wanted to say, but I couldn't think of the word.
Yeah.
But I think I want my word to be like determination because I always have like these grandiose goals that I want to set for myself. And like anytime I set a goal for myself, I want to achieve it. Like I will do whatever I have to try to achieve that goal. And I just have things in my life that are starting to build up towards those goals. And I really want to continue, you know, working hard at them. So determined would be my word.
Yeah. I love goal setting. I honestly do. Yeah. I think goal setting is so important because that's your compass in the decisions that you make. For me, whenever I make a decision, I think about, is this action that I'm going to do get me closer to this goal or further away? And if it's going to get you further away from that goal, maybe that's not the best decision to make.
Yeah.
That's something I always focus on is, am I getting closer to achieving what I want to achieve?
I think there's like, it's... So I think I talked about this like months ago, but coming back, like I always have the goals, and you know, we have to have goals, and we actually set goals with our families too. So we do resolutions with the parents and on what they want their family goal to be, a personal goal for them, and then a goal for their child. Mm-hmm. And then we revisit it 4 times a year. So we just happen to visit it usually after break or right before break for winter. And I won't forget the year that we had in Indiana, we had the polar vortex. Nice. And so it was like negative 50 degrees. And so we went back for a single day after break, and it was wild. And then we were out for 2 weeks because it was like negative 50 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
And then it skyrocketed to 60 degrees. All the snow melts. It floods in Indiana. And so we're off for another 2 weeks. Oof. I didn't see my students for 4 weeks.
Dang.
After we got back. So it had been a total of almost 6 weeks. And so when we went back mid-February, late February, y'all, every goal I had set for that year threw it away. Yeah. We had to completely redo. I mean, an entire semester was gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why, like, I think, like, what you're saying is absolutely true. I think it's great to set goals for yourself. And I think that, like, it's good to have a game plan. But then it's also okay to realize when something's not going well.
Right. It's okay to evolve.
Right, evolve the goal, right. Yeah. Be flexible and mm-hmm. be, like, you know, be able to evolve with the situation. And, it's the same thing with classrooms. Like, you have to be flexible. And if your goal for the year that you're setting in January is falling apart by February 16th, it's all right. Reinvent right. it. Do it right. again. Yeah. Like, figure it out. So, I mean, honestly, that, like, goes along with kind of behavior management, at least for me in my classroom. Like, whenever I have a good system in place and I'll realize, like, when I've fallen off the wagon and haven't been giving, like, you know, incentives or whatever, haven't been rewarding, like, or positively reinforcing.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, hold on. I need to, like, check myself and, like, am I doing my job right now in this moment? And, like, okay, these kids are off their rockers. If I haven't given a compliment to somebody
right.
in the last day or so, I need to refresh my brain and keep going.
Right, like, right.
And sometimes it's hard, but something that I really, like, another goal that I kind of really want to keep going for myself is just more self-care. And I know we hear a lot about that, but I really have been trying this year to be mindful of my own, like, interests and not making my career my entire personality.
Exactly.
And I, like, you know, I know you advocate a lot for this, tell, like, making teaching your job, not your life. And I think that I've done a really good job this year so far of doing that and, like, taking more time outside of school just for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, if something doesn't get done, it's not the end of the world
right.
and it's okay. So that's, like, another, I guess, resolution or goal I would be saying.
I think that's important. I think everyone, like, I think, like, each year that should mm-hmm. not even be a resolution, just, like, a mindset of, like, find those moments of self-care. I hate going to these professional developments. Like, self-care is this. It's like, self-care is so different from so many people.
It is.
And there's a difference between also maintenance and self-care. Self-care is not saying, I'm going to go to the doctor this year. Baby, you should be going to the doctor. That's maintenance. Mm-hmm. So I think, like we were talking the other day, we said something fun would be, it's like, to try each other's hobbies out. And we were talking about, like, what's your hobby? It's like, I feel like we need to find that thing that we absolutely love and enjoy and not forget to revisit that, especially on, like, the hardest days. That's
fun. What was sad, though, like, when you said that, I sat there for a minute and I was like, what is my hobby? I'm like, do I have one? I don't even know. So, I really do want to try and make more time for that. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great New Year's resolution, is to find a new hobby, because it challenges it challenges yourself.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize, oh, there are more things that I like to do than just what I've been doing forever. Because there's so many people that that they get sick and tired of the everyday same schedule.
Yeah.
And I've had that conversation with Annie before, especially, like, during the wintertime.
Yeah.
You get tired of, you wake up, it's dark out, you go to work, you get done, you come home, you cook dinner, and then you watch a movie.
Yeah.
And that makes it so the morale in your house gets lower and lower.
That like winter depression is real.
It is real.
And, like, okay, so it's real for, like, us who live in, like, an area where you know have some hours of daylight. Right. I had a friend who's also a teacher. He teaches high school English. And for his first few years of teaching, he taught in Eek, Alaska. It's literally called Eek. It is a small village in Alaska, and I don't even know what the population was. It's teeny tiny, and they have, like, it's pitch black majority of the day.
Oh my gosh.
So like he's like, in the wintertime, it's just like you're so depressed because right. there's nothing to do. Mm. And you're sitting in your apartment alone. Like, obviously, right. his family wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know how you made it, man. Like, I would have dipped out because that, like,
I would have moved.
That's, it's mm-hmm. real for me. Like, winter is not my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I need sunlight. I need yes. sunlight. And, like, yeah. for me, living in South Dakota, there's so many months in the winter when it is so unbelievably cold out that you can't do anything.
We give Gabe so much crap for living in South Dakota. Right. Not because we have any hatred towards South Dakota. It's just funny.
It's there are people up there. I am one of them. But I actually love South Dakota. I love South Dakota.
I would love to visit. We should do a hometown visit for each of our hometowns.
That'd be a great time.
Will they give us the key to Sioux Falls. Will they give us the key to the city, you think?
Oh, yeah. The mayor's just, he's at the mayor's.
Can we have the key to the falls?
Yeah.
Can't guarantee that.
We're not that celebrity yet.
Yeah.
We're not that
it's
famous.
It's in the name, Sioux Falls.
Okay, but there's like a lot of names.
Okay,
like,
oh, he wasn't in the, he was at the hospital. We were talking about this morning.
I was in the hospital, guys.
Yeah.
There's
falls.
No.
There's falls there.
Yeah,
he
said that they freeze over and you can actually walk on them.
Yeah, super pretty.
I said I would
safe?
Be the person
no,
that would
definitely
like.
No, it's definitely not safe.
Yeah,
definitely not at all.
Yeah, I said I would be the person to walk over them, and they would like shatter, and I'd go flying over the
Tell
falls.
Tell would be the person to drown in the falls.
Oh yeah,
Tell would definitely
break his ankle
be that person.
Fall. But then the town would probably definitely give me the key to the
city.
No,
they probably rename the falls after you. Tell Falls.
Sorry, Sioux Falls. It's now Tell Falls.
Or he'd be like the poster child of like what you don't do. Don't be this idiot.
Yeah, just like you know, like stomping across a tap, dancing on it. Yeah.
Oh man.
Don't do your hobby on the ice.
God. Like, all right. Well, I think this would be a good time to play a little game. So we sent Devin a bunch of our different resolutions, and he's gonna read them out, and we have to try and guess who it is. Do we want to go in like order? So sure. Like we'll Tell will go first,
I'll go
and
first.
Devin read one from either me or Gabe, and then Tell has to guess if it was me or Gabe.
I got
and we
this.
Can talk about it a little bit.
Okay. Yes, I can do all of those things, and it's weird to hear myself talking right now. One for Tell from you guys. Let's go with I want to learn how to build things on my own.
Warren.
That's me.
Pew, pew, pew. What do you want to
okay,
build?
Okay, so this is, I wanted to say this during when we were talking about resolutions, but I didn't want to give away my resolution. So we, this summer, like my brother, like, okay, so my brother and I built houses the previous year directly next to each other.
Yeah.
Because we're psychos. And we, this summer he was building a shelving unit in his garage all by himself. He like measured it, got all the wood, cut everything and all that. And while he was building it, I would go over and help, and like Jordan would help. And he let me like use the, is it a circular saw?
Yeah.
The one that like you set on the table?
Yeah.
Okay. So he let me use the circular saw, and I learned how to use power tools. And I like was doing the best at cutting all the lines. And I was like, I really want to learn how to do like woodworking and how to like
build stuff.
And Jordan's dad actually used to have a giant woodworking like workshop.
Yeah, the pole barn.
Yeah, the pole barn in the back of our old house. And he would like, and his grandpa too, his grandpa made these amazing pieces of art. Like there were, I don't know why he did them, but they were like little beds. But they were like very ornate beds. Like he would have a theme. Like one was like nautical themed.
Aww.
So like it had these cool bedposts, and there were like whales at the top.
He carved them?
He hand carved all of them. And there were like 12 of them. I'm like, you should donate these to like the local art museum because I'm sure they would take them. But like they're really good at that. And I like, you know, just doing that on that one day, I was like, I kind of like this.
Oh, it's so fun. I actually built and designed all of my furniture in my house.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my,
so,
okay,
like,
Gabe, you got to teach me.
You can do it. It's much easier than you think.
All right, let's do it.
Much easier.
All right, Gabe, this one's for you. This person would like to get on a better sleep schedule.
Tell.
Yeah.
That is correct. I got that right.
Yeah. Wow, we know each other so well.
I have a horrible sleep schedule. And it's gotten worse. I got diagnosed with ADHD a year ago, like today, actually.
Oh, really?
No, it was the 6th.
Oh.
A year ago, the 6th. I was like, wait. And so when you have to take medication for that, like it kind of messes up your sleep schedule because like if you just take it even like an hour later, it just means it doesn't wear off. And you know what I mean? So it extends into the evening sometimes. So I would like to, like, part of that, getting on a better sleep schedule, is waking up earlier, taking the medication earlier, so it wears off towards the evening, because I want to be able to, like, be a functioning human and not be up until like 2 a.m. because I can't sleep, and then be like groggy when I wake up at like 7, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, better sleep.
No, that's like always that. A good goal. Yeah. I think everyone can relate to that.
Yeah.
I think maybe while we're still on the subject of sleep, Lauren, this one's for you.
Okay.
This person would like to get to bed before 10 p.m. during the work week.
Gabe.
Yep, that's me. I really have a hard time getting to bed early. Mm-hmm. When I'm like my most creative is in the evening.
Same. So, me too.
When it's in the evening, that's when I'm like, oh, I got these TikTok ideas. Yep. I've got lesson ideas, all this stuff. And then I'll start planning a lesson, you know, planning lessons, planning out TikTok ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's 12:15 at night. Then I go to bed. And then in the morning, I'm just so tired.
Yeah.
And I'm mad at myself. Yep. And it's an endless cycle of staying up late, waking up early in the morning, being mad at myself.
I don't know why
I do that to myself. I can just go to bed earlier.
Maybe it's like a middle school science teacher thing, because my brother's the same way. Like, he'll literally stay up till 1 in the morning every day and then like hop up at 7 a.m. to go teach. And I'm like, I don't know how the heck you do that. Like, and at the beginning of the school year, I like start off going to bed by like maybe 9:30 and then like, and like laying in bed, not sleeping at 9:30, but like, then by like this point in the year, I'm like up till 11:30 midnight every night too. I don't know what happens, but like, because for me, I'm a night owl. I don't like getting up early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I feel like the nighttime is like my free time. So I don't want to go to bed early, you know?
It's called, that's weird. The thing. And people are going to probably scream it in the comments right now. And as a therapist, you think that I would know this. Like, it's not coming, but it's sleep something. So when you, throughout the day, when you don't feel like you were able to like fully do what you wanted to do and take a moment for yourself, you will like purposefully deny yourself sleep to have that moment.
Yeah.
You tell yourself, I'm going to be fine to wake up at 7 a.m. and be tired. I'd rather finish this episode
like sleep
or go on this run.
Deprivation or something?
I definitely do that.
It's not. It's like sleep. I'll have to look it up, but I know there are people that are literally just like screaming it under
and
their thing for, here.
As teachers, when everybody in your house is asleep, there's nobody that can ask you a question or make you have to make a decision. Like, I get so tired of having to make decisions during
fatigue.
The day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the worst at that.
You figure it out. Like, Mr. Burns, what do we do next? I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Please don't ask.
Listen, that's me and Jordan to a T. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. You decide.
We talked like, about you pick three
yeah,
and I'll
you pick three.
Pick,
I'll, yeah. pick the, I'll pick the one. Top one. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, moving on to the next one. Tal, this one's for you.
Okay.
And this is a softball, my friend.
Okay.
This person would like to do 100 push-ups, 50 pull-ups, 5 days a week.
Okay, actually, we talked about this. It's Lauren.
Oh, yeah. Gym rat here.
Yeah,
no, totally.
No, that's definitely mine. as much as Lauren is a pull-up queen.
She is.
We did see her this morning just shredded.
Oh,
just
shredded. I was up at 4 a.m. Yeah. Just like, you know, hanging off that Elsa
pounding
bunk.
The creatine. I mean, just like.
She's, yeah. But no, I want to. So cliche. I want to get in the gym more. But it's one of those where it's so easy to say, yeah, I want to get in the gym more. But when people say that, it almost always fails. So say exactly what you want to do.
What is it again? Say it again.
I want to do 100 push-ups every day.
Okay.
And 50, no, I'm sorry, 100 push-ups, 50, no, not 50. Did I say 50 pull-ups?
50 pull-ups.
50 pull-ups,
50
yeah.
pull-ups, yes.
Yeah. 5 days a week. So okay. I want to do all of those 5 days a week.
Like Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. Or Monday through Thursday and then Saturday or Sunday or whatever.
Did you know there's a difference between a pull-up and a chin-up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There is?
I had no idea. Like one's like this and one's like this.
Uh-huh. It's different
wait,
grip.
So wait. Okay, so a pull-up is when you're holding it backwards? Or is that a chin-up?
I don't know. My trainer is screaming at me right now, I'm sure.
Pull-up, chin-up.
Okay, so pull up is when your hands are on the bar backwards.
Do I need to fact check this?
Yeah, I just know you get different grips. Like,
I know I'm the gym rat. I should know this.
I know.
But like,
you were doing them all day. You were just alternating though, like back and forth.
Yeah, I just like in midair.
Midair. Yeah, I was
hands.
Like, okay.
When you're doing a pull up and your knuckles are toward you, like you can see the palms of your hand.
Yeah,
that's working a lot more tricep.
Oh yes,
and bicep, and then when you're going this way, when you see the back of your hands, that's much more back.
See, it's
back.
So funny to me because like I don't go to the gym a lot now. Like I go to the gym, but I don't go a lot now because I'm constantly busy and traveling.
Yeah,
but like back in the day, and this might be hard to believe, I was actually a gymnast, and a softball player and a cheerleader that did like tumbling and stunting.
Yeah.
And so I was very athletic. Like I was always running and like doing things. And now I'm just like, who are you?
Teaching is absolutely exhausting. There's so many people I've talked to that were that are so incredibly active. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't somehow find a way to consistently do it, like your first year going in right away, I feel like you lose how to navigate that.
You know what's a good way to do that? Huh. Competitive hide and seek.
I heard that as long as you're under 31, it's great.
I'm not going to lie, though. That was one of my thoughts last night when we were running around the house. I was like, this is so much fun. And I'm working out because I'm running. So, all you got to do is find a giant house and or woods and then play hide and seek.
Just make sure the stairs is not the base.
Yes. Don't do that. You will sprain your ankle. I heard.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. We still got more.
Yeah. We have several more. Okay. Yes. So, Gabe, this one's for you now. This person would like to read a book every day and finish at least 20 books this year.
Wow. Okay, nerd. No, I'm just kidding. Lauren?
Yeah.
What makes you want to be a super reader this year?
Because I love children's books. Like I have a love of books, and I feel like as an elementary school teacher, I don't know if this is just me or like other people could relate to this, but as an elementary school teacher, I feel like I'm constantly reading. Mm-hmm. But never books that I want to read.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's always books that are, you know, for the kids.
Yeah.
And not that they're not good books, but I'm also 28 years old. I would love to read some novels.
You don't want to read Junie B. Jones?
No.
Magic Treehouse? That doesn't give you what you're looking for?
Nah, not really. Like, so I really want to do that. And so something I started doing, and like I've talked about this already before, but Jordan started being real supportive with this. Every night before I go to bed, I read like 10, 15 minutes every night. Mm. And like, I'll say I'm going to read for 15 minutes and then it always turns into like 45 minutes. So like, I'm cool with that. And I've already finished, like I finished a 600 page book in a month.
Wow.
And then I just started my other book I'm reading now. It's about the Culper Spiral.
Are you a Colleen Hoover girl?
I haven't read any of her books yet, but I've been suggested a lot. I have a couple at home that I want to read. Like Verity, I think, is the one.
I know so many, like all the women that I teach with, absolutely.
They all love her.
Love it. So does Annie. Annie's always reading.
Okay, so I'll have to read those next. I have a stack. Like, and then I'm actually, like one of our friends here is designing a library in my home.
Ooh.
So I'm going to turn a room into the library so that it's like my dedicated space. This is where I'm going to read and like... Because that's always been, like, my grandparents always love to read. I love to read. I just never make the time for it for myself. So that was, like, my goal. And then it kind of, like, goes with my tattoo.
Yeah, your new reading tattoo.
I got a stack of books. So there you go.
I love that idea.
I know. I thought 20 books was, like, a good number to start with.
That's solid.
I'm one of those people, like, I'll start reading a book before bed. And I plan to read for 10 minutes. And it's more like two.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Because you get tired. I'm out
like a liar.
Never mind.
You're like, I'm sleepy.
It takes like 2 seconds. Okay, so this will probably be our last one.
Oh, yeah.
Run a little bit short on time. So, Lauren, this one is for you.
Okay.
This person would like to train for a marathon.
This is a tough one. Okay, so Gabe wants to do push-ups. I think it's Tell.
I do.
Well, you're not going to be training for that marathon right now, buddy.
It's always been like a goal of mine to do a marathon. I was a cross country and a track runner.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds like something like that would be a fun goal. And I'm not even saying like running a marathon. Just I want to like train and work towards that. Mm-hmm. And I have, I don't know. Like, I think it'd be like, why not?
Have you ever done a half?
No.
Oh, like... You start training toward doing the half marathon.
Yeah.
And the half marathon is so great because you don't, like, after you do a half marathon, you're not just dead to the world like you are after a full marathon.
Yeah.
And once you do a half, you think to yourself, oh, I can actually do a full. And then that motivates you to keep training and going for it.
I should probably
do that. You could definitely do it. You could definitely do a full.
I mean, like, they do the Rocky run in Philadelphia, you know?
Rocky
Balboa, is that his last name? I don't know. But they do the Rocky run, I think, every September, October. And there's different, like, levels. There's a half, there's, like, a 5K, there's a 10K, you know, all that stuff. I don't know numbers of kilometers as we've found out in the show. But I think it'd be fun to do that one eventually. But, like, I don't want to set up myself for failure. I'm going to run a marathon on October 10th. I want to work my way towards running that, which is hard when you do. I do strength training like 3 times a week. So I'm going to have to like beg my trainer to like allow me to start that process.
Let me do cardio, please.
Yeah, please. Just let me, like,
once you get the ankle taken care of, you better get training.
Yeah.
You'll definitely be able to do it though.
And if not, I'll rollerblade a marathon.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That or, you know, we can get you one of those knee scooters.
I'd be so good at that.
For your ankle. Be, like,
shook. Yeah.
One of your legs would be just absolutely jacked.
This one, this one not so much. This one would be like a little one.
Oh my gosh. Well, on that note, we hope you guys have an amazing new year. And those of you going back into the classroom, we hope that you have a successful end of your school year. And we will see you guys in the next one. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.